Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for your word that's been read to us. And now comes the time of worship where your word is to be proclaimed. Be with us, Father, Lord Jesus, in the power of the Spirit. Thoughts that we form in our minds, meditation of our hearts, that all of these may be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our God and our Redeemer. In your Son's holy name, amen. Okay. Going by the church calendar, the liturgical church calendar, today is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday before Advent starts. An invitation by God to accept His Son as your Lord, your Savior, and as your King. The last time I was with you, I told you I was looking forward to the fall weather, to the cooler temperatures. Well, those temperatures are here, and it does feel good. Amanda and I spent a few days in Arkansas, and it was a few degrees cooler there, but oh gosh, it was beautiful. The leaves were changing colors. Really nice. Everything I was expected and wanted. But I had an unexpected surprise, a good surprise while I was there. Two men I used to work with in Lafayette were camping, and it was good to see them. And when you get police officers together, especially retired ones, one thing you get is a bunch of lies. But then also you get a lot of war stories, as we call them. Some good, some bad, some very bad, some funny. One story just to tell you. Early in the shift one night, me and another guy were sent to this place. Okay, what this place is, there is a, what I call a community that's run by the Catholic Church for people that just cannot survive on their own. So they supply them apartments, a place to live, and just kind of help them maintain everything. And this one lady that we've dealt with kind of on a regular basis. Okay, now no prejudice intended, but just to get you in the context of the story, this lady, and I do not remember her name, she is a black woman, weighs a good 300 pounds. Okay. So me and this other police officer were sent to her apartment one night, and she told us aliens were invading her brain. So this other officer, his name's Paul, asked her if she had any aluminum foil, and he sat down with her and made her a helmet complete with antennas out of aluminum foil, telling her that the aliens cannot penetrate the aluminum. Oh, gosh, she was completely happy. You know, said everything was good. No, they were not penetrating her brain anymore. So we left. Well, later that night, after everything had calmed down, dispatcher called us and told us we needed to go back and see her, that she called 911, said she had been attacked, but she did not want anybody else to come but us, because she said we were so nice to her the first time. So we went back, not knowing what we were going to find when we got there. Well, when we got there, luckily we found, looking at her, didn't see anything out of the ordinary from what we were there last time. But she said she was sleeping, and she was wearing the aluminum hat and helmet, whatever, and the aliens were upset because they could not penetrate the aluminum, and they attacked her, and one of them stabbed her in her butt. And she asked Paul, "Do you need to see it?" And of course, Paul said no, and I'm standing back behind Paul, and I told him, "No, absolutely, he needs to see it. We need to know, you know, in case you need to go to the hospital." Where at that point, she lifts up her nightgown, drops her drawers, and Paul got a full moon. Okay, end of that story. More recent, Amanda and I were on our way home from Arkansas Friday, and a little after 5, we're coming into Hot Springs. Now, on Highway 7, just north of Hot Springs, is a place called Clampett's Country Kitchen. I love to stop there. They serve plate lunches, really good food. They have this huge freezer section of all kinds of food. But what I really like, the reason I like to stop there, is they had their own butcher shop. You know, they sell steaks, all kind of steaks, chicken, I mean, just any kind of meat you can think of. But you can buy sausage and bacon by the pound, just to, you know, buy one slice if you want to, 5 pounds, 10 pounds. You just tell them how much you want, and they have all different kinds. Well, it's a little after five. We're pulling in the parking lot. A car pulls in ahead of us. Parking lot is pretty much empty, you know, and it's getting dark. The car that was in front of us pulls into the first row, almost right in front of the doors. You know, I park in the second row behind it, kind of off to the side. You know, I'm saying something to Amanda, and I notice the person get out of the car, and it looks like they have a Santa Claus suit on. So I said, oh, Santa Claus is here. Well, when the person comes around the car and goes to walk in the store, I notice that the person has a skirt on and high heels. So I said, oh, it's Mrs. Claus. You know, I don't think anything else about it. So I go, get out, going in the store, get what I need. But when I go up to the register, now the register is not like Walmart. It's a long L-shaped counter, because back behind the counter is where they make all the plate lunches, and it's the kitchen further back. Mrs. Claus is standing there. Now, Mrs. Claus is very big, muscular, and talks with a really deep voice, if you understand what I'm saying. And he has a skirt and high heels. Well, the girl at the cash register is looking at him. It looks like she's doing everything she can not to laugh. And then she looks at me. Then Mr. and Mrs. Claus turns to look at me. And look at me. And I just look at him, her, and say, you know, hey, you know, Merry Christmas. Kind of getting an early start on Christmas, huh? And he said, well, you know, just getting together with some friends before the season starts. And I said, told him, says, well, good, you know, just don't forget the real reason for the season. And it just, he had this puzzled look on his face. You know, it's the reason for the season? And I said, yeah, the reason for the season, Jesus, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son to tell you that he loves you. And then again, he got this puzzled look on his face for just a second. And then he looked at me and said, God loves me. And he just got the biggest smile on his face. And I said, yeah, God loves you. You know, and he paid for what he wanted and left. You know, so I go to pay for what I had. And the girl looked at me and says, you really think God loves him? And I said, hey, you know, God loves everybody. You know, I said, the Bible tells us nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, he may not be very pleased with the way some of us live sometimes, but yes, God loves you, him, me. God loves everybody. Okay. You know, all of us, you know, I hope, you know, like stories. All of us have a life story. Some of us have more stories than others. Some of us like to talk more than others. Some of us have lived a little more adventurous than others, so some of us have different stories. But most people do like a good story. Jesus told a lot of stories, and we call those stories parables. Jesus told stories because people remember stories. And Jesus told stories about everyday life so that people would remember what he said. And Jesus told stories about everyday life. Week before last, we kept our 13-month-old grandson and his older brother. And even they liked to hear a good story. We read to them every night before they went to bed. We always read to our kids to try to develop in them an interest in reading. We wanted them to read. But also, reading stimulates your brain. And stories do that. Stories stimulate our heart, our mind. You know, stories, you know, make life more real. Different people have different ideas of what a good story is. So question, what makes a good story for you? For me as a pastor, what makes a good story for me is God, that we have this book, the Bible. Okay, does everybody know what the word Bible stands for? You know, I was kind of surprised at the 8:30 service this morning that no one had any idea what I was talking about. And even when I told them, they still did not know. Okay, none of y'all also? Okay, Bible, B-I-B-L-E, stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. You know, and I just could not believe, I can't believe none of y'all know that. Gosh, I thought this was just, you know, just universal. Okay, you know, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. We had this book full of God's stories, stories of God, stories of God's people. And these stories are meant to stimulate our brain, stories meant to stimulate our heart, our life, to stimulate us to following God, to following Jesus. Stories meant to lead us to want to read more of this book of God's stories, to learn more and draw us into relationship with Father, Son, Spirit, and help us encounter the fullness of God. Stories to inspire us to live a certain way, a godly way. Stories meant that we might read and believe the gospel, the good news. In this book that I have here, the Bible that you have, we know what the gospel is. Gospel is the good news of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. But how many people out there? How many people know the gospel? How many people really know what the word gospel means? Now, the word gospel in Greek has two or three definitions. You know, one of them is the good news, but also another definition of the word gospel is a good message or a good story. And from that root word, we also get the word evangelist. Now, what is an evangelist? Someone telling a story. A good story, a God story, an invitation to tell your story, to be an evangelist, a storyteller for God. One of the stories that Jesus told was about someone that lights a lamp. And what did Jesus say? You do not put that lamp, you don't put it under a basket, you don't put it under a bed, you put it out for all the world to see, to light up the whole room. And what else did Jesus say? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love, and who is your neighbor? Everybody. Love your neighbor enough to tell them a good story. Story of God. To be a storyteller, to be evangelistic. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, and the Methodist Church started out not as a church, but as a movement. John Wesley told Methodist pastors to set yourself on fire with the Holy Ghost, and people will come to watch you burn in his light. You know, and I just always kind of like that. You know, I see on y'all's face that y'all may not like that, but it's just set yourself on fire with the Holy Ghost, and people will come to watch you burn in his light. But Wesley also said, do all the good you can, all the ways that you can, in every place that you can. And Wesley said, if you do this, you will be glorifying the God in heaven. So how do we learn to tell a good story, your story, our story? God has given us a whole book of stories to learn, to read and to learn, to stimulate our brain and our life. Our story today is about a man that has tasted and seen that God is good. And just like the woman at the well, he had a fire burning within him that he just could not contain, that he had to let people know. So he invited a bunch of people to come to a big banquet. An invitation is sent out, but no one responds. Luke 14, well, people did respond, but not the way that he wanted. Luke 14, but he said to him, a man is given a big dinner. He invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent a slave to tell those who had been invited, come, because everything is ready. And yet they all alike began to make excuses. The first one, I purchased a field. I need to go to look at it. Please consider me excused. And another one, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. And another one, I took a woman as my wife, and for that reason I cannot come. And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here those who are poor with disabilities, those who are blind, and those who are limping. Now all these excuses are just that, excuses. Sounds like excuses people might use not to come to church. Have you ever seen someone with a megaphone, maybe on a street corner? The only time I've seen this is on college campus, screaming, repent, that God is coming, the end is near. And there's a story about 2 men standing on the side of the road. They each had a sign saying, turn around, the end is near. And cars would go by, they would yell and screaming at them, you know, waving their hands, shooting a sign at them, you know, calling them nuts. And they look at each other and say, well, you know, maybe we should change the wording on it. The bridge is out, turn around. But you see somebody like that with a megaphone standing on a corner, soapbox, repent, for God is near. Do you just brush him off as a nut, or do you stop and listen to just a little bit or any of what they're saying, that, hey, there may be something here that's good? Someone handing out pamphlets, tracts. Now, I used to get Jehovah's Witness and Allah all the time. I haven't had any here. Not even, you know, a tract left when nobody was at home. But would you take one, read it, see if there's anything there? Yeah, you know, there'd be, you know, some things, yeah, that we just do not believe or don't practice. But there may be something in there that God wants you to see, to lead you, to stimulate your mind, your heart, your brain, your life. But instead of just throwing it away, accept the invitation from God. Now, none of these people in the story turning down the invitation to the banquet seem legitimate, except for the man that said, I just got married. Now, to me, I think that's a pretty good excuse. Him, I might excuse. But the slave comes back to tell his master, no one is coming. And they just cannot understand how anyone can or would turn down such a grand invitation. The man says, I will not let all of this food and the preparation I've gone through go to waste. So he says, go out. He told the slave, go out. Invite the lost, the least, the blind, the lame, the unlikely. Go and invite them, all the wrong people. And these, all the wrong people, they were hungry for an invitation. Nobody had ever told them about the gospel, about the good news of Jesus. Nobody had ever extended an invitation to them. They had been ignored, and they just cannot wait to accept it, and they run to the banquet. But even after they come, the slave goes in and tells the master, go out into the roads and hedges and press upon him to come in so that my house may be filled. Go out everywhere so my house may be filled. That even after he had told all these, there was still room. But from the King James, it says, go into the hedges and compel them to come in. Now, how do you compel someone? You have to talk to them face to face. You cannot compel someone by texting them. You cannot really compel someone by talking to them on the phone. No postcard, no letter. You have to see the person face to face. You have to have a certain relationship with that person to compel them. And one thing, when you compel someone, you're putting yourself out there. You're taking a risk. You're taking a risk of sharing yourself, sharing your story. Now, to compel someone, It's not begging. It's not hitting them over the head and dragging and kicking and screaming. It's taking the time out of your day to love your neighbor, to have a conversation with them. To compel someone, we need to do two things. One, we need to be ready to listen to that person. That person needs to know that you care enough to listen to them. And then you need to be ready to share your story, what God has done for you. Don't tell them what God is going to do for them, but tell them honestly what God does for you every day. Now, have you thought about that? Have you thought about what God does for you? What does God mean to you every day? One day in my office in Patterson, a member of the church came in, Miss Carrie, crying. She just kind of threw herself down in a chair in my office. You know, and I asked Miss Carrie, what's going on? Now, she told me that was the anniversary of her 11-year-old granddaughter getting killed by a drunk driver. And the preacher at the time had told her that her granddaughter had not accepted Christ as her Savior, that she just needed to forget about her granddaughter and move on to focus on her salvation. Oh, if I could have got my hand around that preacher's throat. And as she was telling me this, two other people from the church came in to tell me about Miss Carrie, about this day, so I could go and check on her. Three of us sat with Miss Carrie. We listened to her tell stories about her granddaughter. These people shared stories about their life, about things that had gone on. Finally, I shared my story, but we also shared a story about a God that sent his one and only begotten Son into the world so that we can have forgiveness and know the love of God and know the love and the resurrection that we might face tomorrow with hope. To compel someone, to listen to someone, to listen to their stories, and after listening, to tell our story, to be an evangelist. From the book of Psalms, Psalm 66. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was exalted with my tongue. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but God has heard. He has given attention to the sound of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his favor from me. From the book of Isaiah. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And on that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Rejoice and shout for joy. Tell people what God means to you, sharing your story. And that's what these people were doing. The psalmist and Isaiah, sharing their story for generations to come. Are you sharing your story with the generations that are coming? It does not matter who you are, does not matter where you're from, does not matter what you have done or not done. All that matters is you share your story. But where do we start? We start with God, our Father, and our Lord, and our Savior. We sit with him and share our story with him and let him hold us and never let us go. And we put our trust and belief in God. And that's what all through the Bible, people are sharing their story. So we might taste and see that the Lord is good and might commit to God, be stimulated, our heart, our mind, our life, and maybe just be bold enough to share our story with someone along the way. And Jesus tells us this in the book of John. I'm giving you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. On the cross, Jesus shared everything he had He poured himself out for all the world to see. He gave his last breath for you, for me, for the world, that we might tell people his story and our story and compel them. How? By listening to them, by meeting them face to face, and tell them the greatest story ever told. You know, when we sit with people and we share our stories with them, we find out that we're not on this journey alone. You know, and that happens a lot on retreats. It happens in men's groups, women's groups, and that's what they do. That's why all the anonymous groups, Alcoholics Anonymous, the Drug Anonymous, that's why they are all so successful. Because people get together with problems. They share their stories, and they find out that they are not alone. You know, I think of Jesus at the Last Supper, getting down on his knees to wash feet. How would that story have changed if Jesus had not done that? What if at that Last Supper, Judas had shared his story and he had received forgiveness? It wouldn't have changed anything, but would have changed his life. God calls us to go and do likewise, to share his story, to share our story. Has Jesus changed your life? What does Jesus mean to you today? My prayer is that you think about that, what Jesus means to you, and that you might be bold enough to compel someone to listen to someone, to join you in the greatest banquet ever given, the coming banquet, the resurrection. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we just give you thanks again for this day. Lord God, be with each and every one of us here, that we, somewhere along the way, will recognize the person that you want us to compel to come, Lord God, into your house, whether it's this one or anyone, Lord God, as long as they come and follow you as their Lord, their Savior, their King, their Redeemer. In your Son's name, amen.